Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to American Statesman Blog Talk Radio, the place where it's all about duty, honor, and country. Today is Monday, November 5th, 2012, one day before the election day. My name is Sally Bettis. I'll be hosting the show tonight, and Charlie Klein will be co-hosting and joining us in just a few minutes here. I'm going to start off tonight's show with the American's Creed. I've been doing this quite a bit lately, but I think it's important, especially as our country is facing such a change or whatever may happen tomorrow or in the next few days when it comes to this election. So I'm going to go ahead and read this, The American's Creed by William Tyler Page. I believe in the United States of America as a government of the people, by the people, for the people, whose just powers are derived from the consent of the governed, a democracy in a republic, a sovereign nation of many sovereign states, a perfect union, one and inseparable, established upon those principles of freedom, equality, justice, and humanity for which American patriots sacrificed their lives and fortunes. Very powerful statement there. And then the final part of it. I therefore believe it is my duty to my country to love it, to support its constitution, to obey its laws, to respect its flag, and to defend it against all enemies. That is the most powerful statement, and that is what I think we all, as Americans, need to believe. If we do not honor that part, I therefore believe it is my duty to my country to love it, to support its constitution, to obey its laws, to respect its flag, and to defend it against all enemies, then we have no America. This was written back in 1917 and was accepted by the United States House of Representatives on April 3rd of 1918. We must defend the United States of America against all enemies, whether they are foreign or domestic. And I'm sad to say, I think we have a lot of enemies from within. Those who are running this country today, who will let Americans be killed and attacked overseas and just stand there and watch. To me, it's treason. We're not going to get too much into the Libya thing right now, but it just there's no truer words to me than that American's Creed. So I sure hope that everybody will think about what that says and think about those words about what your duty is to this country as an American. The other thing tonight, we're going to talk a little bit about what's going on with the 2012 election, what all this is going to mean, just is it really going to be over tomorrow, you know, what do you think about this thing, what does this election say about us as a people? So we're going to talk a little bit about the election tomorrow, and then we're going to have John Smalls, and he's going to be joining us here, and we're going to continue our discussion about God and country and the petition. We started this conversation on Thursday. The petition's very detailed. It's got 14 demands. And if you're not familiar with it, or even if you are, you might want to go to the website, which is, let me go ahead, and I have it out there in the chat room for everybody, www.usa-godandcountry-petition.com. I would encourage you to go there and have the petition open, the demand list open, so that we can discuss it and you can ask John questions about it. You can make suggestions on what needs to be changed, whatever you want to talk about. And we really need to push to get the petition signed out there. So we'll be talking about that shortly. But first off, two things that I heard today that I want to make sure people know about or have heard about. And that is, and I heard this on Glenn Beck, this first one, Boehner is out there saying, and I told people this, my own fears a while back, Boehner, a Republican conservative who is the Speaker of the House, Speaker of the House of Representatives, he is already out there saying that they're not going to be able to repeal Obamacare. This is the Republicans refusing to repeal Obamacare. You know, I told people all along the Republicans don't have the backbone. If you're going to keep supporting these Republicans, we're going to end up in the same mess. Maybe the mess won't stink quite as bad as what the Democrats, the liberals on the other side are doing, but the Republicans don't offer a whole lot more. And you people who insist on believing so heartedly in these two stupid parties, you just wait and see that Obamacare does not get repealed by the Republicans. And if we don't take down Washington, D.C. ourselves, like I was talking about, and when I say take it down, I'm talking about the people by the masses circling every Washington, D.C., and forcing these people out of their office and putting some real people in there, or demanding that they change the laws while we stand there and get something done, and then nothing's going to change. I just feel sorry for those who truly think the Republicans are going to do something different. But you got Bonehead Boehner out there right now saying Obamacare can't be repealed. This is the Republicans. So, okay. And then the other thing, the FISA amendment is up for reauthorization. This was a Ron Paul Campaign for Liberty bulletin that came out today. The FISA amendment, it's the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act. I think it was first passed in 1978, but it was reauthorized in 2008, and now it's up for reauthorization again, which this is another one of these things that invades on our rights. They make it sound like it's all foreign amendment thing, foreign intelligence, but it invades the rights of people, somewhat like the Patriot Act kind of thing does. And because we're going to have this lame duck session going on, the Obama administration is going to take this lame duck session with good old Harry Reid out there, and they're going to pass through every kind of piece of crap you can imagine, because all the other people are going to say, oh, the election's finally over, it's holiday season, we can take a break, we don't have to worry about anything, while Obama's up there destroying more of this country. Don't think you can take a break after this election, people. You can't. There is no break. The break isn't there. They are going to go, Obama, and obviously depending on the outcome of this election as to how aggressive Obama is going to be in trying to destroy as much of this country as he can if he does not get elected. They're already talking about the suppression mentality out there. If he doesn't get reelected, they've already got a certain fringe of the progressive Democrat stuff going on. They're going to start pushing some kind of suppression. It was invalid. The vote was invalid. Florida, by not allowing everybody early voting, was somehow suppressing the vote. Wait a minute. Why don't we just vote on one day like we're supposed to? Why is not you somehow suppress the early voting? You have all these days, like 7 or 8 days, for people to vote it whenever, and you're suppressing the vote? Personally, I don't even like early voting. I think it should be on the day it's supposed to be. I don't think there should be early voting. So just all this kind of nutsiness that takes place with this amendment, or excuse me, with this election. But this, keep in mind, the FISA amendment is going to be going on regardless of what happens on this election. This is Obama wanting to take control. But Obama wasn't the one who first put it out there. So as much as we want to condemn so many things that Obama has done, he isn't the only one who's done this. We need to make sure you look at both sides of the aisle and who first put that amendment out there. FISA amendment, they're going to reauthorize it in the lame duck, which is bad for all of us. And just remember, Boehner. Everybody listening to this should call that moron, the Speaker of the House, Boehner, who's already out there saying that you cannot repeal Obamacare. Jump on his case. The thing that Glenn Beck said today on his show, and I said it was going to happen before now, but now we're getting back out there, and now I think it's going to mean a little bit more. It's coming true, coming to fruition here, that if the Republican Party does not do something about Obamacare, the next two years from now, there will be no Republican Party. 2010, we gave a lot of power to these Republicans to do something, the Tea Partiers. They did basically nothing. Whatever you want to say on that. They kept blaming it on the Senate. But now, here you've got the Republicans saying they're not going to repeal Obamacare. The Republicans are saying this. Not going to repeal Obamacare. And if this happens, people, you people who are so addicted to these two parties, will you then wake up and realize it doesn't work? That the Republicans, you can't trust them either. You can't. And will you do something in 2014 to actually get rid of the two-party system the way it is today? Will you finally clean up the elections? But keep that in mind. The other, will you think the election is going to be over tomorrow? I don't think so. I don't think for a minute this election's over tomorrow. I don't think it has to be some massive landslide of one side or the other for it to be over tomorrow. And I don't think that's going to happen, in my own opinion. And if it's anywhere close, it's all going to be challenged. There's going to be so much, I don't know, scares me as to what's going to happen after tomorrow, even though I would like for it to be over. And then the other key question that we should talk about, and people share their opinion, with what has happened with this election, which this isn't the first election, obviously, but I think this shows how sick the society, this culture has become. The nutsiness of these elections. I mean, it's not about the country. It's all a marketing game. This is a game picking sides. These people act like they're at some kind of a Super Bowl game and they're rooting for one side or the other. It's not about the country. It's not about what we need to do as a people. I just don't understand where this mentality is. And I truly think the world is laughing at us. We look like a bunch of idiots. When I see these silly commercials, the media, look at everything the media did over New Jersey Governor Chris Christie about the Obama being there after the Sandy, Hurricane Sandy storm. You know, well, he should have been there. That was his job. You know, did Christie go a little bit overboard in saying how wonderful he was? I don't know. That's up to you to say that. But the president was supposed to be there. That's part of his job. But look at the way the media has put such a stupid, silly spin on it. When are we going to get back to being Americans? When are you going to get back to caring about what's going on with this country and get past all this other craziness? If we don't get past it, we're not going to be here. And that is my own personal belief. And later on, Thursday's show, as many of you know, my father recently passed away. And with everything that's been going on with the election and how critical things have happened on here, I've only missed one show. But I'm probably not going to have Thursday's show because I need to take care of some things with my father's affairs. It's just a lot to do. And I've tried not to miss any of the shows. I've tried to keep them going, but I may have to pass on the show Thursday. But we'll take it one day at a time on that one. But more importantly is when it comes to everything to do with my father and the healthcare. At some point in the future, near future here, I will be having a show on healthcare for seniors, healthcare for the elderly people, because I think what we do to our senior citizens is pretty disgusting. And I'm going to go over the lessons learned, my lessons learned of what happens as a culture, how we treat elderly people, how we treat ill people, but definitely the elderly people in the healthcare way and just in general, and how we abuse these elderly people in so many ways. And what does that say about us as a culture, too? You know, it's disgusting. So anyway, I'm going to stop there. I've been rambling for total of 13 minutes there. I'm going to get Charlie in here to give us a quick update, and then we're going to get into the discussion with John on the God and Country petition. Okay. Charlie, are you there?
Yep, I'm here.
Okay.
Okay.
How are you doing today? Can you hear me?
Oh, I'm doing just fine. Anyway, getting back Thursday's show. As I'm going to urge you to just go ahead and say, you may close it. No, I think you're going to close it. None of this may, none of this I think I will. It's right now. You just say, I will not be on the show Thursday because I have to take care of my father's estate. You're just kind of putting people there in hopes that you might be on. Nope. You just go ahead and tell them right now that you are not going to have the show Thursday night. That way they'll know. Go ahead and say it.
Okay. Charlie has been a very good friend and has been helping me. He knows the stress and the very things trying to deal with my father's estate. He's under a lot of pressure. And so he has encouraged me to take Thursday off. So, okay, we will bypass Thursday's show. But we'll be back.
You cut out.
No, I said we would skip Thursday's show. I would not do Thursday's show, but we will be back next Monday.
Yeah, well, next Monday didn't come through the first time.
Oh, okay.
Not on my side anyway. That's
okay.
Why I corrected you. Okay.
Okay, that's okay.
Okay. Since you brought up the situation about the election, I would like to just add my little two cents into there. If you will notice, neither party has come up with a definitive solution to the problems of the United States of America and the solutions suggested. They will do this, they will do that, both of them. However, because Romney does have a lot of business experience compared to, how would you say, freeloader business, which is welfare, community organizer for those who are not working and who don't want to work, Romney actually works with businesses. So he has an idea of how to run the country as a business, which is what we need to do, so that businesses will come back to America and create jobs for the people. You can't create jobs for the people if you do not have the businesses willing to come back or willing to invest. We have had 4 years of going nowhere. Now, unfortunately, there's nobody else running for president, vice president, that we know of, because the media who uses our airwaves fails to bring and do the job that they're supposed to do for the good of the American people and for America. They block off the airwaves of those who would be contenders, say, in the Green Party, the Reform Party, the Constitution Party, or any other party, or even independents and no-party affiliates. You don't hear about them because the media blocks them out. The media makes money, tons of money, during the election cycle. But you don't see any contenders being allowed to get on the media. It all has to be done through the party mechanism, which means it's all controlled by the party. Two illegal monopolies telling we the people who we are going to vote for every 4 years or every 2 years. And they implement laws by the legislatures of the various states to discriminate and or are prejudicial in their wording against not only minorities, but those who don't have a lot of money, such as me, possibly Sally, and some other people who would like to run. And I'll give you the prime example. $10,440 to file to get your name on the ballot in the state of Florida. $50 if you want to be a write-in candidate, but they won't put your name anywhere on it and the media won't help you because you're not on the ballot. But they will use your airwaves and our airwaves to promote the party candidates. That, to me, is an illegal monopoly, denying competition. And therefore, the Democrat Party and the Republican Party are illegal monopolies when it comes to the ballot box. And there is voter suppression because of this. But who's going to do something about it? If the people don't wake up and the Tea Parties don't start waking up to the fact that they have been taken over by the Republican Party or the Democrat Party, then this country is definitely doomed. You will become a socialist country like Greece, where all the people working are going to give their money to the government, and then the government's going to give it to those who don't want to work. Right now we have that, and a lot of these people who don't want to work are illegal aliens here. You have a very big decision coming tomorrow. You go vote, and you better vote for change. You better vote for the kind of change that you haven't gotten in the last 4 years, because nothing's been done in the last 4 years. As a senior citizen, I lost 2 years of my cost of living adjustment. Congress did not lose any of their cost of lifestyle adjustment because they voted it in illegally to violate or circumvent the Constitution. But because we the people don't have lawyers backing us, nobody's filed a lawsuit against them. But it's there, and it's available for you to do as a pro se litigant because it's a violation of the Constitution. And you don't have to read and study a bunch of laws because any law that is made by Congress or any legislature that is in violation of the Constitution, which is designed to protect we the people, is unconstitutional, and therefore it is a moot law. It doesn't stand on its merits. Congress, in their greediness, have made laws in regards to retirement that is not in the Constitution. They have made laws to give themselves perks, which is not in the Constitution. And they have also made laws that they think exempt them from prosecution, which is not in the Constitution. It's not allowed. Insider trading is not allowed. If it's not allowed for the people, it's not allowed for Congress. All of these things I have just mentioned have been done by members of Congress. Stealing $92,000 in cold hard cash by a Louisiana congressman. No prosecution. Violation of the IRS codes by Charlie Rangel. Failed to declare a piece of property in Santo Domingo that he was making money on his income tax. No prosecution. Well, Wesley Snipes is in prison for IRS problems. So, ladies and gentlemen, when you go to the vote, if there is somebody new you don't know on the ballot for Congress, Senate, and they don't have an R or a D next to them, or they are not the incumbents, vote them in. Don't vote for anybody who's been in there. Like, I don't even want to mention their names because that might give you the right, give you the name to vote for them. Don't vote for any incumbent. And if you don't know who the incumbents are, then you really are. Why are you voting? Just to go ahead and say you voted? That is really not the best way to be an American. The best way to be an American is to understand what's going on in America, and especially in your politics. The heads in the sand is what an ostrich does. Citizens of America keep their head up and look for the brighter future. I am not voting Democrat. No, I am not going to vote for another 4 years of nothing or another 4 years of having my pay questioned. I have been enduring $3 to $4 in gas ever since the Democrats took over. I haven't received enough money to offset it because the Democrats do not include it in the cost of living adjustment. They are ripping the taxpayers off for their own benefit. Back to you, Sally.
Yep. And, you know, this is for those of you who are not familiar with the work that Charlie and I started way back in May. We did file a complaint with the FBI, We the People versus the Ballot Box Establishment. They totally ignore us. They don't respond at all. And due to, you know, somewhat crazy schedule, it's been my own fault that I haven't sent them a certified letter demanding a response. But they have the right to investigate government corruption. And everything to do with the elections. I mean, I go back to good old George Washington's farewell address. President George Washington, he warned us about the political parties. He warned us how they will take over, how they will divide us as a nation. You just read that farewell address, and you will see how much of it is true today. He told us what was going to happen, and here we are. And people heard me talk plenty of times about it, I'm sick of holding my nose and voting for the lesser of two evils. I think there's something very pathetic in this society, this culture, when we cannot find Americans who want to be Americans and who want to honor that Constitution. I got something today, what was it, some kind of public update, and I had to go and say, it was on the death certificate. Again, my father just passed away. I don't know how many of you have seen a death certificate lately and whether they're different from one state to the other, I don't know. But on the death certificate, it doesn't give you an option to be an American. You can be everything else, German and whatever else, but you can't be an American. It gives you no option to sign that you put off that you are an American. Isn't that disgusting? You can't even die as an American? How stupid is that? It's crazy. And that again, is going to be one of my lessons learned when I talk about everything that happened with my father and his health care. But the world is looking at us like a bunch of idiots. They're laughing at us. This is what we do to elect somebody? How many billions of dollars got spent? And how much of it, you know, what's going on, and this is thanks to the Supreme Court who said a corporation is a human. A corporation is not a human. And it has no rights to vote. A corporation should not be allowed to go out there and buy the election. The elections are for sale. The elections aren't about the people. Does anybody truly think it's about the people? I mean, some of the local stuff, you get a little bit closer to it. But even that, and of course I know personally firsthand myself because I ran for Orange County mayor. So it's all about who's got the money. It's not about the people. And out there, somebody corrected me on how much was being spent, $2 billion. I guess we would be putting a lot of people out of work if we actually had civilized, reasonable elections. How many people, of course, it's probably more China than anything else. Don't all the buttons and everything else come from China? So all that kind of nonsense. But don't people look at, I mean, I don't know, Charles, you tell me. Do you think the world looks at us like we're really some kind of geniuses for the way we do these elections? Or do you agree with me that we look kind of silly the way we're handling all this?
I believe that the people of the other countries are watching our thing to see how crazy we are and how would you say, dishonesty has taken over the most honest country in the world. Because this country was developed on honesty. When you take a look at 56 founding fathers, 39 of them signed the Constitution. But of the 56, 4 were atheists, 52 were devout Christians, and of the 52, 26 were ordained ministers. Everything of honesty and integrity from God's book, the Bible, was used to develop this great country of honesty and integrity. And now we have devil's advocates abounding in great numbers in all of our legislative positions, doing the devil's work, undermining the will of the people, violating the will of the people, stealing from the people to make themselves look better, and putting themselves on a pedestal, which they were not supposed to be. Because if you look at anything from the Constitution or from the Founding Fathers, the whole intent was for people to serve their country and then go back to the farms or to their work and work and then come back to Washington when needed. One day a year. Now it is a lifestyle of the rich and famous in Washington, D.C. Every elected official needs to be made to work in their district for 3 weeks and then go 1 week in Washington and no more than that, and not all of these wonderful vacation trips that they take at taxpayers' expenses. That alone will save us billions of dollars in costs every year, because no member of Congress is worth more than $6,000 a month. They all go there to get rich, and they do it by catering to the special interests who pad their contracts so that they can pay more money for the election and donate to the campaigns. It's a vicious cycle, and it all comes back onto the taxpayers to pay it off. Congresses, look, when you see a Congress's campaign coffers, you can say that the taxpayers pay for most of that, especially when they give a contract out to the high rollers. Back to you.
Exactly. So, okay. Just one clarification, and this is something I recently learned It was 39 of the original delegates that actually signed the Constitution. Several of them decided not to.
Right.
I used to state that wrong, and somebody corrected me on that a while back.
I was the same way, too. That's why I said 39. But of that, you still got to look at 56 people believing in God, 52 believing in God, and 26 of them were ordained. Even of the 39, there's only four atheists, but the four atheists still liked what God wrote in the Bible.
And we are supposed to be one nation under God.
That's right, one nation under God. And this is God's country, and that is what the American Legion has as their motto, God and country. And the whole thing about it is this is God's country. And when you take a look at all of the hard work and the sacrifice of over 1.2 million plus brave men and women patriots who died for our freedoms, that is why President Obama was able to run for president and be elected to president, because of those who died for our freedoms. 1.2 million patriots, men and women, gave their lives for our freedoms.
Well, there's two comments in the chat room I want to mention, and one of them goes back to something you said, so I'll let you respond, and then we'll get John in here, and we'll get back on to his petition.
Okay.
One of the comments, it was the same person on both of them, I speak to people from other countries every day, and they are all concerned about who wins the election. The most of them, if not all of them, want the incumbent. Well, that wouldn't surprise me if you're talking about the Middle East. So, you know, when you're talking about some other countries, I guess.
Okay, my comment on that, he said most of the people that he talks to are foreigners, and they want to keep the incumbent in there?
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yes, the people I speak to from other countries every day are all concerned. Most of them, if not all of them, want the incumbent. Yes.
Yes, they want the incumbent because the incumbent is giving them something because they are here. That is what the way the Democrats work. They give money from the American worker to these people who can't find the right kind of work, or they are allowed to come in here because of under dubious methods. And sure, the foreigners are going to love the incumbent because the incumbent is for making sure that they have food, a place to stay, medical stuff, and all this type of thing. And they're probably getting it just like the illegal aliens get it who come over from Mexico. Why wouldn't they love it here? They don't have to pay for anything because America takes care of it. It's almost like socialized medicine in England. But in England, you have to wait for a long time. But here in America, you can walk up to a emergency room and be admitted. So why not? I mean, that's a great way for them. But, you know, an American citizen who owns a home can't get any assistance because our elected officials seem to think that we're rich. But we aren't. And this has happened with a lot of other people. You own a home, you can't get food stamps if you own any home or you're paying rent or something like that. And you got a job, you have a job, forget it. You have to be dirt poor. Well, foreigners have a better break because they aren't here permanently and all this type of thing. So no wonder they love it. But that, hopefully that answers the chat room person. A foreigner loves the incumbent because the incumbent takes care of foreigners more than he's willing to take care of the American people. Next one.
Yeah, and there was an add-on to that about being in the Middle East. And we all know that the Middle East, this is all this one world order, new world order, the redistribution of wealth. So anybody in the Middle East who hates America anyway, of course they want Obama to stay in there because Obama hates America. But his next question, his next comment was, our country has grown since the Constitution was enacted. That's why they need to spend more time in Washington. Would you really want our politicians to, first off, I don't want politicians, I want statesmen. Do you want our politicians to only work one day a year and go back home for the rest of the time? I don't let them work for the money. Well, first off, they don't work for the money. They spend all their time campaigning. What are we paying in salaries right now for these people to be on the campaign trail, not doing any of the people's business? That's definitely one part of it. And they were never supposed to be full-time employees. They, if you had the federal government was the size it's supposed to be, they don't need to spend every single day up there, and all they're doing is whining and dining the lobbyists. They're not working for the people. Being
right.
a federal representative, any of them, should be a part-time job, not a full-time job. Your comment on that?
My comment on that? Okay, for the person in the chat room, our Congress gets paid $174,000 a year, plus they are involved in insider trading. Also, they give contracts out to other businesses who help contribute to their campaign so that it doesn't cost them any money. And for years, and it's been documented, they only work about 108 days a year for the people. That means 130-some days are spent at home, on vacation, on trips, and how would you say campaigning, and going to fundraisers and all this type of thing all year round. But the thing is, yeah, when the Constitution was made, it was for one day. If you notice, I says they would work in their district where their constituents are, the voters are, so that the voters can go there and say, our district needs this. We need this down here and all that. But no, they spend all their time in Washington dealing with the special interests, the lobbyists, and those who make campaign contributions to them in the thousands of dollars. They ignore voters who put them in office. But they come down here just enough to campaign and say, oh, I'm going to work real hard for you. I'm going to do this for the country. And then the moment they get elected, they go back up there and they do what they can. They schmooze all of the other people and do very little for the country. Because right now, they will write a bill like Obamacare and not even read it. They don't even write the bill. The bill was written by Acorn and Apollo, those groups. They didn't even read it. In fact, if you listen to and remember, Nancy Pelosi, the Speaker of the House back then, said, well, we have to pass the bill to find out what's in it. That's like putting the cart before the horse. And if that's the kind of a Congress you think is right to have, then I wonder, what kind of person are you really? You can't be a patriot American, because a patriot American would never, ever vote for something that they didn't know what was in the bill. We have a congressman who received $10 million for his family to go into business because it was tucked inside of a bigger bill, and Congress didn't read it. And his family bankrupted $10 million in 4 years. And that was featured on Fox News Sunday. These are the types of things that elected officials do to us. We, the people here in Orlando, said no to commuter rail, to the rail systems, 3 times. 7 commissioners voted it in. And then they talked the Tallahassee and the governor to vote for it. They overthrew the vote of the people. We, the people in the United States of America, are the government of the people, by the people, and for the people. Those we elect into office are our representatives. They are not our bosses. So to the person in the chat room, I hope you understand a little bit more now about America. We, the people, the citizens of this great country, are the government. Those we elect to office are our representatives, and it is their job to represent we, the people, not the greedy rich, and they are not supposed to be getting rich at us because that with at our expense. They are not supposed to be getting rich while they are working for we, the people, without our permission. That is a breach of fiduciary duty, and that is a violation of the law. Everything that we are talking here on American Statesmen leads back to what the rights of the people are. Honesty in government, and you don't have to do a lawsuit. Congress, in its entirety, is guilty of failing to pass a budget for over 1,000 days. They either fail to pass it, they fail to process it, or they were driving the getaway car, if they had nothing to do with it or they ignore it. Ignorance of the law is no excuse in a court of law. Therefore, in this country, ignorance of the Constitution is definitely not an excuse. I hope that clarifies the person in the chat room.
Okay, well, I'll read the last comment that they got on here, and then we are going to get John in here because we're after 7:30. I told him we'd get him back on at about 7:30. My thoughts on the terms of the president, it should be longer. How can anyone get anything done in 4 years? It's the first year they're getting acclimated to the surroundings. The second year is they start trying to do what they promise. Third year, they can do whatever, do something. They can do whatever they, I think it was supposed to be want, but kind of got cut off there. They did thank you for your explanation. And
okay, all right, now on the term limits for the president, we used to have a president being able to run for consecutive years, 4 years, then 8 years, and then 12 years, such as President Franklin Delano Roosevelt during World War II. After that, they all felt that it was too long of a time for a president to be in office, or anybody to be in office, so they said 2 consecutive terms maximum for the president. They didn't do it. Congress would not do that for themselves based on their 2-year limitation. And the Senate being 6 years, they didn't put a limitation on them. But basically, if a person can't get something done within 6 years, they shouldn't be in office. They are not there for a full-time job. They are not entitled to a retirement, because if you're in the private sector, working for a corporation, and they have a retirement plan, you have to spend 10 years or more before you even have any vested rights in the retirement plan. Congress gives themselves a retirement in 2 years, which is at the cost of the taxpayers. So 535 people retire, their deal is not in Social Security, it is out of your pocket, which is totally illegal because we, the people, did not vote on it, so therefore it's a violation of their fiduciary duty. They went ahead and voted for something for themselves to benefit themselves without the taxpayers' approval. Had that been put on the ballot where they're entitled to a retirement fund, then fine. It actually has to be a constitutional amendment. And if any state legislature votes for a constitutional amendment to put the retirement in there for elected officials, they are definitely not working in the, they are definitely not patriots. But term limits must be there because when you have somebody you don't care for, or somebody that doesn't do their job, like our president, he has done literally nothing. Benghazi is a perfect example. He should have been there on top of it right from the beginning, but he went to Las Vegas to campaign and for a fundraiser. Four United States servants were killed. Somebody dropped the ball in the Obama administration. The president is responsible. The president failed to keep the people informed right from the very beginning as to the fact that it was a terrorist attack. President Nixon was brought up on impeachment charges for lying about the fact that he knew about a break-in of the Democrat National Committee headquarters at Watergate. They went in there to find out what the Democrats' plan was for the election. Nobody was killed, no money was stolen, or nothing. But just because he lied to the people, President Nixon was forced to resign. President Obama has lied to the people about Benghazi and his knowledge of it. So has Hillary Clinton and others. They tried to blame a videotape, and they arrested the guy who made the videotape. It was never Nobody knew anything about it. That is a total cover-up, a lie to the citizens of the United States. It is an impeachable offense, and they haven't taken action yet. But I'll tell you, there's a lot of talk in the Internet, and it will prevail after the election, because even if Obama fails to win a second term, he needs to be impeached, whether he is president or he's not the president. He needs to be impeached so that he can never hold another federal position. Because just on that one charge, he deserves to be brought up on impeachment charges by Congress. Or we need to bring Congress up on charges. Okay, Sally.
Okay. Well, we're going to get, John, I promise you, we are getting to you. He's just probably falling asleep out there. Hopefully he's not. We've got quite a discussion going on here. But we talk about, you know, why we call this American statesman. What's the role? What's the difference between a politician and a statesman? A politician thinks about the next election. A statesman thinks about the next generation. This was written by James Freeman Clark back in 1888, sometime around there. And that is the ultimate example. That's the problem. We don't have statesmen. We don't have people representing us and doing the people's business. We have politicians who are self-serving, thinking they're the elitist, giving themselves every kind of cushy benefit they can give. They're entitled to everything. They're entitled to an outrageous compensation plan, pension plan they get. They're entitled to free health care. They're entitled to these outrageous salaries. You know, they're overpaid and they do too little. They spend most of their time on the campaign trail. Of course, they wouldn't spend their time on the campaign trail if the ballot box wasn't so corrupt. So we've got a government that best government money can buy. It doesn't serve the people. It serves a special interest. And that's why we're in the mess we're in today. That is totally the reason why we're in the mess we're in today. And you know what? Everything to do with Obama. If we had an honest Congress, and, you know, we have two houses of Congress. Some people get confused on this, the Senate and the House of Representatives. I don't know how many times I've talked to people and they don't know we have two houses of Congress. But if we had an honest Congress, Obama would not be there today. His eligibility would not have got, he wouldn't have been allowed to be there. Here we've elected a foreigner and we refuse to admit it. The American people are burying their head in the sand, especially those who are elected to represent us and protect the Constitution. And then we have everything else he's done that violated the Constitution, all these executive orders. If the Congress doesn't do what he wants, he writes an executive order to it. This is all treason. This is the acts of a traitor. But you got to go look at the people in Congress. Aren't they treasonous? Aren't they traitors, too? Because they don't honor the Constitution. They violate the Constitution every day. And let's see. Out of all those that are in public office today up in Washington, D.C., how many of them are not associated with a political party? Very, very few. Maybe two, I think. Maybe. It's not many. So, anyway, until we clean up the people that are in public office today, nothing's going to change. And that's why I think it's critical to realize Bonehead Boehner, and that's called, I don't know another nicer way to call him, Bonehead Boehner is out there saying that Obamacare will not be repealed, and this is the Republican Party. So on that note, we are going to get John involved here. John, how are you doing this evening? Can you hear me?
Hello.
Can you hear me, John? You there? Yes,
I'm doing fine. It was very interesting conversations I was just listening to for the past half an hour. Very interesting. I'm doing great, and I appreciate you having me on the show the night before the big day, Election Day. You know, I've listened really carefully to a lot of things that were being said here tonight. I've got a couple of things that I'd like to share with you, and they may counteract or they may differ from what was said, but do you mind if I
address
a couple
John.
Of things?
That's perfect.
One is, it came from the chat room, one was in reference to other countries wanting Obama to win the election. And I can't really agree with that entirely. Let me share something with you. The other day I was on the phone with an attorney over in the Cayman Islands. And this particular attorney I've known for many years. In fact, he was the counsel at, for the government. And one of the things that he was talking to me was about our elections. And I've heard this, by the way, from other people in other countries. Cayman Islands is British rule, by the way. He said, we are very concerned what is happening over there in the United States. And he says, what we fear the most is if Obama gets reelected, what's going to happen to your economy? Because whatever happens to your economy is going to affect our economy. And I've heard this from other countries. So I've got to tell you, and I've got to drive this home, that no, not all countries, believe me, not all countries want to see Obama in office. It's going to affect them drastically. It's going to affect a lot of countries economically. It's going to drive their country right into bankruptcy. Some of them are already into bankruptcy. But believe you me, not all countries share that that sentiment. And it's you know, it's really amazing what and how we affect so many countries in this world. So I just wanted to kind of share that conversation that I had with this attorney over there, and I thought it would be interesting.
That was good. That is very interesting.
But I'm sure, believe me, I'm sure other countries, there's a lot of countries out there that are praying and hoping that Obama wins. We all know that. I can tell you one country that does not want Obama to win, and that's Israel. But
yeah.
The other...
But all the ones around Israel do want him to win.
Well, that's for sure. There's no doubt about that. Maybe one or two that in the back of their mind may not want them, but I agree with you. The other thing, too, was I know that, Charlie, you made the statement and that this president has done nothing, you know, since he's been in office. And I disagree with that. I really do.
Okay. But tell me what he did.
Pardon me?
Tell me what he did.
Okay. I firmly believe, and I have believed for a long time, this, and you know how you share my sentiments on this, that Obama was handpicked. He was groomed and educated over the years for exactly what you're seeing him doing.
Right.
This president of ours has managed to take over, and you're saying, what has he done? He has managed to take over our financial structure of this country just by passing the Financial Regulatory Reform Bill, Dodd-Frank's. He has managed to establish the foundation for socialized medicine through Obamacare. He's been able to structure a treaty, and I say structure a treaty, with one of our most deadly enemies, and I have felt this way for a long time, Russia. And I'm talking about the START Treaty. That START Treaty leaves the U.S. in a very vulnerable position and favors Russia primarily. This president has managed to reduce manufacturing productivity in this country and forced a great deal of it overseas. This president has crippled our ability to be energy self-sufficient as a country. We're relying more and more and more on foreign resources. Our president has also been doing everything he can to reduce our military superiority in the world.
Mm-hmm.
He's established a foundation to reduce our military budget drastically and also in the years to come. I can go on and on and on, but this president has done more, and this administration and the people leading this president has done more in the past 4 years than I can remember any administration ever accomplishing and doing. Now, I'm not going to say what he's done is accomplish things in our favor, obviously, but he has driven this country to the point that we are almost a socialistic nation, and if we can't do something quickly, we don't have a chance. Tomorrow is a very serious day in this country. And it's too bad that we can't just reach out to all those undecideds, all those Democrats on the side of the and sitting on the side of the fence, and drag them down to the voting polls.
Right.
I'm just hoping that a lot of people can get out there and vote tomorrow.
And
I just had to bring those two up. And I'm sorry to take the time.
No.
Discussing that.
That was perfect. John, that was perfect, because you said exactly what I was thinking about. The whole thing about him, yes, he's done an awful lot, but it's all been against what this country stands for.
Most definitely.
He has really, and Sally, I've been saying treasonous act for a long time. Sally's now using the word treason. And I'm saying our Congress is actually involved in condoning treason. But there's one thing about treaties that we have to make sure that we double check it. The president can sign a treaty with a foreign country, but it has to be ratified by two-thirds of the Senate before it becomes a law. And therefore, if the Senate has not agreed to the thing with Russia or anything else, such as the Agenda 21 thing, then it's moot.
And we can repeal that START treaty, precisely. But
yeah,
these are the things
that
this president has accomplished, and he's a brilliant man, and brilliant to the point that he's so dangerous.
He's another Hitler.
Oh, I mean, if you look at the profiles and compare the two,
that's right.
Very, very
that's
similar.
Right. Very similar to
Hitler. I'm sorry, Sally, for getting off on a tangent. It's just that, you know, I can go on and on about what I feel this president has done in this administration in the past 4 years. And
there's one thing I will give him. There's one thing that he has done, and I'm sure that a lot of people who are not even thinking about it, he has actually shown us what reverse discrimination and what reverse prejudice is like. By his failure to take action against the Black Panthers, his failure to go ahead and bring charges against other black people or whatever, because you notice that he has been very, very lackadaisical about taking action against people of color.
Well, he's been a master at dividing this country into race and class, and he's
That's
done
right.
that.
He set us back before the Martin Luther King days, as far as I'm concerned. Darn near. He's almost there.
Sally?
Yes.
Sorry about that.
Well,
you can throw a tomato at me later.
that's okay. This is good discussion, and this is all very relevant to the petition, and we want to make sure people know what your petition is about. And if any questions I want to talk about from last Thursday, or you can give a little bit of an update on it. But the only thing, and I know people get annoyed at me at stressing this point, is while Obama is amongst the most evil of any president we've had, maybe the most evil, I don't know, Woodrow Wilson was another one out there, and a couple other progressives that have been out there trying to destroy what this country is, Obama is definitely one of the most intelligent, genius, brilliant, whatever you want to call it, in his sleazy ways of doing this, because he has been groomed for this thing, but he only can do it when it's because the Americans around him allow it. Everybody up in that Capitol, that Senate and that House of Representatives, they too are so guilty. And this and the other part of this, it wasn't Obama who started the One World Order, New World Order for the United States of America. It was what I call a evil president by the name of George Bush Sr. He's the one who first started it, and George Bush Jr. He was out there promoting it, too. He was trying to get the North American Union created through his Security Prosperity Partnership of North America. So as much as I think Obama is the ultimate of evilness of what we've seen, he's the cream of the crop of doing this, he is definitely not we can't blame the fall of this country on Obama. He would love to get credit for it, but it truly isn't all him. This has been going on for many years. The only thing is, I do believe because Obama has been so extreme, so anti-American in so many ways, that it did actually wake up a lot of American people. So the blessing in disguise of Obama is that he woke up a lot of Americans to realize their country is being taken away from them. But it definitely
I think he accelerated
Obama.
Things so quickly, Sally. The people that were behind him, and there are people behind Obama, they recognized his talent. And they recognized the fact that he could accelerate their goal and their timetable, and that's what he's done in 4 years.
He has, and people voted for him because he was a black individual, which, he's black and white. He's not pure black in that sense. His mother was white and his father was black. But there were so many people who voted for him because he was black and because he could talk good. It's like, people, would you look, find out what these people stand for? It's the same reason when people reelect the same morons out there. It's like, keep doing this. same thing over and over again, expect a different result. What about insanity, people? And what about believing in something? Which is why I frequently go to that American's Creed. I hope people aren't tired of hearing it, but I just think it's true, and we need to be reminded of what it means.
He is. He promised a lot of things. He promised a lot of things that people wanted to hear. That's one of the things. You know, I don't like to get into race and things of that nature, but this man promised the people in this country many things that the people needed and the people wanted. Bush didn't hand over the greatest country in the world to Obama. And I'm not sticking up for Obama in any way, shape, or form. But he told the people what he was going to do in 4 years, and they believed him. They believed him. They wanted to hear him. They wanted to believe him. I believe that's why he was elected as president of the United States. Now, in 4 years, he has done just the opposite. He has not done what he said he was going to do. He has done what he was ordered to do. That's how I feel.
Well, okay.
Just in what I outlined earlier, he has completed those objectives very well.
Yeah. Well, and I have no doubt that many people did vote for him because he was black. I'm sorry. I wish we could be all past that, but I just don't think we are as a society yet. We're a lot further than we were in the past, but anybody who said anything against him was called a racist,
True.
I believe there was definitely a group of people who did vote for him strictly because he was black. And
I'm sure many, many black people voted for him because he was black. If I was running for president, many white people would vote for me because I'm white.
Yeah, so, I mean, unfortunately, that does play a part. But when it comes to the fact that he told everybody what they want to hear, well, what are we hearing right now today? We're hearing the same thing. They're both, and not just the presidents, obviously, but we're talking, if you get into the third parties and the no-party affiliates, you start hearing the facts of what we need to deal with. But if you're trying to just brainwash an electorate out there to just vote for whatever you say, now, I mean, anybody with a brain, even a pea brain, should know the stuff that Romney is saying, it all sounds good. I support 90% of what he says, maybe not all of it, but most of it. I agree with a lot of what he says. But you know what? He keeps forgetting that there's a Congress he has to deal with. You're not king. King Obama is the problem we have now. We don't need another king. We need a president, and we need two houses of Congress who will believe in the Constitution.
Well, the problem is we don't know if Mitt Romney is going to follow through with his promises. We do know that Obama did not. And we do know that we can't afford another 4 years of Obama. We do know that Romney had the opportunity to work with a democracy, or I should say a democratic Congress when he was governor.
And that's all fine and dandy. And I'm not saying, I'm not going after Romney on this. I'm going after both of them. What Romney is doing now is the same thing that Obama was doing in 2008, coming up with saying something what they think the people want to hear and not being honest with what it's going to really take to do it. And if I truly believe, if Romney would say, this is what I want to do, this is my goal, but you've got to give me a Congress that will let me do it, we've got to have the same, we have to have people who believe in the Constitution, which goes into a few things he does I don't care for, like the Patriot Act, and things like that, then you could say it. But, I mean, it's no different. Romney is no different. You can't forget Romney Care, whether people want to or not. Now, when you know that he was the creator of Romney Care at a state level, I totally agree they can do whatever they want at the state level. You're supposed to be able to move to another state if you don't believe in it, the federal level. So there's two different things. However, the fact that he did come up with a similar plan means he does support
There's many differences, but I don't want to get into those differences right now. The point is this. Tomorrow is going to decide the fate of this country. And it could be the fate of this country if Romney wins. But what I'm saying here is I'm hope to pray to God that Obama does not get elected. If Romney gets elected, like I hope he's going to, I've got to support him, but I got to watch him. We've got to watch every Republican. We the people, talking about we the people, we have to start taking a different attitude on things. Who do you think created this? Do you think that the politicians we put in office created this? No, We created it. We, the people. We're the ones that put those people in office. We're the ones that have been complacent. We're the ones that opened our borders up when Carter was in office and allowed everything to come into this country. I mean, we are the ones that are creating the problems that we're living in. We're making our own bed, darn it. You know, and I get just so tired of saying, well, this president did this, this president did that. Sure, we allowed them to do it. We let them do it. We have allowed this government to grow to such a point that it is the largest employer in this nation. The federal government is so large that it's controlling our lives. It's controlling everything we do, and we can't control it. So, no, the government doesn't work for us. We work for the government. And until we drastically reduce the size of government, start pushing the responsibilities back to the states where they belong, we're not going to eliminate many, many departments we talked about on Thursday. We are never, never going to get out of the mess and the bondage that we are in. And I don't mean to be so emphatic about it and so passionate about it, but it's my country, too. I served it. I fought for it. I love it just like you and everyone else that's listening to me right now.
Okay, and I think you're missing a little bit of the point that I'm making. I'm going to go back to, and you see some of this on our homepage. Here, the whole reason why we came up with American Statesman Blog Talk Radio, we say, and I truly believe, and Charlie has always agreed to, he can chime in if he wants to, but the fact is we've been invaded by the politicians. The politicians have taken over this country, but the other part is, the second problem is we the sheeple. We're not we the people, we're we the sheeple. We've been herded. And a lot of this goes in through things that have happened very gradually over the course of time by people who were pretending to be of good intention, education being one of the number one things, the dumbing down of the American people and being taught, oh, you go vote for somebody, and then they're going to take care of it. They're going to represent you. They're going to be honorable. They're going to do all this. And you did your job when you voted and took care of them. Not ever, and I mean, I know when I went to school, I never once went to a public meeting. I never once was told anything about going to a public meeting and getting involved in what those community actions are, finding out what they were getting ready to vote on. That was never taught to us. We were never taught that type of thing. So the dumbing down of the American people has led into this complacency. And you know what? While things were all going good and the Super Bowl was good and this and that, everybody is sitting on the sidelines all happy thinking everything's working the way it's supposed to, while they were little by little digging away and destroying what this country is. So we are very much here at American Statesman. You know, the citizenship has not been properly engaged in this process. We get the government we deserve. That is totally, and I you're never going to get an argument out of me there. And I tell people, you know what? I don't tell people to go vote. If you are clueless, the ignorant voter is the worst thing we need. The informed voter always makes the right decision. They vote their conscience and they do what they believe is right, and they're involved. But you know what? If you don't know who's president, don't go vote. Stay home. The ignorant voter is the biggest threat to this country. And
sure,
because
is.
Of, you know, going and voting for Elvis. Or here in Florida, we did actually, they almost got a dog on the ballot all the way through. It didn't quite happen, but the dog, I think, was on the primary.
So they, I heard about
and the
that.
Dog was good because the dog was black and white. No race, no racism. Fido, wherever it was.
That's
and
good.
I can go,
that's good.
I
didn't mean to get us off of the subject of my petition either.
No,
and, back into it.
Yes, the main thing is I want to stress that Obama is definitely the most evil thing I've ever seen in that office. He's one piece of the puzzle. We have allowed this to happen. We the sheeple, whatever happened to we the people. We're not Americans anymore. We're all going to be segregated in some way or another. The Hispanics or this or that or whatever, we're not Americans anymore. It's a total decline in all these bits and pieces. Somebody put it to me years ago, and it took me a lot of time to truly appreciate the meaning of what they were saying. But the same thing that makes you strong will also make you weak.
We're
strong because we believe in letting everybody in. We believe in freedom of speech, freedom of religion. Well, wait a minute. I believe in freedom of religion, but does that mean you as a Muslim can come over here and start saying we're going to do Sharia and you're going to start cutting people's heads off and beating, stoning women to death and all this other kind of stuff? No, that isn't what we mean. But yet we say freedom of religion. So what is, you know, these are the kind of things, the same thing that made us a strong country has been turned against us. And we've allowed it to be because we thought, well, wait a minute, what's this? And little by little, now we don't even have freedom of speech anymore.
And you're 100% right.
So much of the way. But anyway, so I truly think we're the same way. I'm just telling people, you know, I think you just got to be a little bit naive to believe anything these politicians tell you on the campaign trail. Go back and look at their records of how they actually voted. See what they actually did, whether that be at the, you know, in Romney's case as the governor and things like that, and see what they – but they can change. There's no reason why someone can't learn something and change a position on something. But don't be so naive, and then don't, you know, don't say, well, the election's over, I can go take a rest. No, you can't.
No, not at all. In fact, if anything, exactly. We've got to be more aggressive after the elections than we were even before.
And I mean, what do you think – excuse me, one quick question, then I'll give it back to you here. What I said at the beginning of the show, the two different things, the FISA amendment, reauthorization of the FISA amendment, that they'll play games when it's a lame duck session. But the other part, for Bonehead Boehner to go out there and say that Obamacare will not be repealed, what do you think that's going to do to the Republican Party and to us as a society? What are Americans going to say when you've got these rhinos out there who refuse to repeal Obamacare?
I didn't hear that part.
Glenn Beck was the one talking about it today. So I figured if Glenn Beck is saying Boehner went out there and said Obamacare can't get repealed and that kind of stuff, so I figured I'm taking it on Glenn Beck's word that it probably did get said.
Well, he's probably referring to a provision that's in Obamacare that has similar language to that. But that was challenged. I believe that was challenged. There is a way to repeal Obamacare, although I'm not an attorney, so I shouldn't even speak on that.
Yeah, there's a way to repeal it. But what I was getting from Glenn Beck earlier today is the saying that the Republicans are caving in. And they're saying, because he was saying Romney is out there saying he's going to repeal Obamacare. Boehner's over here saying you can't repeal it. So
yeah, well, Boehner is a... Well, I don't even.
He's a wasp.
Just ridiculous.
Yeah, he's a wasp.
Yeah.
Well, if he said that, number one, even if it was fact, he should never have opened his mouth and said that.
True.
Yeah.
Before election.
It seems to me like he spoke out of turn, or somebody. How would you say? Misquoted him.
Well, I'll say. That's too bad.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I'm here, Sally.
Okay. On that note, let's go ahead and get back into, if you want to give everybody a little bit of a recap on your petition, then we can start talking about some of the specifics. There's a lot to it. And anybody, you're out there listening, if there's any particular parts you want to discuss most, one section of it, please let us know. You can put it in the chat room or you can call in. Call in at 347-857-4364. That's 347-857-4364. Make sure you press 1 to be placed in the queue to speak. If you do not press 1, I don't think you want to speak on the air, and I let you stay out there.
I'm going to go on speakerphone, so you want to mute me.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. I'm not going to go into the detail that I went into last Thursday, obviously, because of the time restraints. But the petition is God and Country. I'm going to repeat the website. The website is www.usa-godandcountry, and that's God, A-N-D, country, dash, petition.com. The petition has been in existence for a little over 2 years. The primary purpose of the petition is government reform. It's a proposal for a complete government reform. There is 14 primary legislative demands that make up what the petition is all about. Each one of those demands, when you go into the website, you'll go into a section that will guide you to the menu of the legislative demands. And when you click on any particular legislative demand, it'll take you into the full details of that demand. And for each legislative demand, there could be anywhere from 10 to 15 different subsections to that demand. So it's just not a, okay, you know, repeal health care reform. It's there's a lot of parts to that particular demand. The primary, I guess the primary objective of this is, of the petition, is definitely to reduce the size of government drastically. Reduce the size of government drastically, bring many of the responsibilities and duties back to the states where they belong, eliminate many of the departments that are a waste and that we do not need, that is costing this country a tremendous amount of dollars. It gets into a lot more than just that, but that's one of the primary objectives, reform government completely. One of the different parts of this, and many of you have already heard me say this many times, is the fact that I am not looking for donations of money, nor will I accept any donations of money. I've funded this petition from the beginning all the way through to today, and I'll continually fund it, providing Obama doesn't get reelected. I think if he gets reelected, the petition's probably a moot point anyway. The petition, like I say, has been around for almost 2 years. I do have legislators, at least a U.S. congressman and a U.S. senator, that's willing to sponsor it in the form of a bill and bring it to both floors, providing I achieve 100,000 petitions that are filled out and verified. And when I say filled out and verified, these aren't just petitions for signatures. You have to go in, you have to fill out a form online, your email is verified, verifying who you are, making sure that it's a valid petition. A person can't go on there and do two or three or four of the petitions because only one will be accepted and the rest will be automatically kicked out. But I feel whoever would take the time, and another major difference is that it is long and it is detailed. It's a good hour, maybe even more, of reading. If you want to read it thoroughly and understand it thoroughly, you have to take the time to read it. Each item is spelled out in plain old English so you can understand it. There are solutions to the problem. It just doesn't say cut spending. It tells you how we're going to cut spending, or it tells you how we're going to reduce our deficit. So if you take the time to get in there and read it, I think you'll find that most of those items, as I feel that you'll probably agree with them. You may not agree with every single word or every single item in there, such as term limits. We had quite a discussion on that last week, and explained my point of view on why the term limits are the way they are. But that's kind of an overview of the, you know, of what the petition is all about. Like I said, it covers items from revamping the election and voting process, to illegal aliens, to repealing health care, to repealing the financial regulatory bill, controlling the powers given to our legislators, sorry about that. Term limits, I get into term limits, gets into improving, or I should say, bringing back manufacturing and jobs back into this country through tax incentives and other incentives such as tax incentives, but some other caveats with it. But it gets into all of these different items, plus it gets into a couple of other areas that are in addition to the 14 legislative demands. That's kind of the overview, Sally, without going into each individual item.
Well,
now, questions, I'm open for questions of last week, questions that anyone has presently. Before I get into anything, by the way, whatever happened to Granny?
You know, she is not out there tonight. She typically is on by now, so I don't know whether she got tied up in something else or or whatever. She's out there most of the time. And I did send you an email with her contact on it. I don't know if she responded back to you or not.
I did not see it. Oh, you sent her an email. I'm sorry. Okay, because
well,
I have not
I
heard from her yet.
Yeah, I actually
and,
you were both on the same email.
But anyway, I'm open for questions.
Her. Yeah. Okay, so hopefully she'll still come on, but usually she's on by now, so she might have got distracted or had some other things to take care of tonight. Well, I started talking to you about transportation, and I owe you some information. I told you I was going to send you some information on public-private
right.
partnerships, and I will do that. But the
George
whole
did,
thing,
too, by the way. I mean, Charlie sent me something very good as well. I'm waiting for the elections to see what the results are. And then, Charlie, I'm definitely going to be using yours. Just wanted you to know, and I'm looking forward to yours, too, Sally.
Okay. And, Charlie, you're going to have to push the button if you want to chime in here. The thing, first off, public-private partnerships, this is part of the Agenda 21 deal going on, where the collusion of the government and the private sector. And it all sounds so hunky-dory, public-private partnerships. This way we put the private, we're deferring expenses to the private sector when it's truly a gradual collusion of these two things where you no longer have a private sector. And the other thing when it comes to the highway systems and anybody out there, which I do see some people from Texas out there, when it comes to the highway system, these public-private partnerships are used to sell off the highways to foreign entities. There's nothing more despicable than to think a foreign entity has ownership and control of a highway infrastructure, key infrastructure. And the other thing, when it comes to the Department of Transportation, why the highway system is why it's important, what it does to every one of us. The highway system is not a luxury item for people just go joyriding. It plays a crucial, critical role in so many things that we all do, just like the military. I mean, you can't go out there and privatize the military and say, well, I'm going to go hire some security so that my house is protected from the invasion. But when you get back to that core role of what government is supposed to do, it's supposed to do that piece that the people cannot do for themselves. You cannot have a highway system like people opening a chain of restaurants. That's not the same thing. The highway system, which when Eisenhower designed it, the interstate specifically, the interstate highway system, was part of the military defense system. It was part of national defense. It had to be built to support national defense. It had to be set up in such a way to support any kind of invasion that was part of it, part of military. And the toll taxes are just abuse. If you try to privatize highway system, toll tax with everything else, it's outrageous and it overtaxes people, a very big negative to everybody's cost of living and everything else. But when you get to the core reasons of the infrastructure, the think about everything the highway system supports. It's a lifeline to this economy. What type of activity in this economy does not touch a highway system somewhere along the way? There's plenty of pieces that don't touch light rail. There's plenty of pieces that don't touch freight rail. But very, very little of the economy does not touch the highway system transportation at some point. And
how would you
want to
include that into the petition? Because I'm assuming you're referring to, because we're on the petition subject, I'm assuming that's what you're referring to. Am I right?
Definitely, because you were saying to eliminate the Department of Transportation, so I would recommend removing that statement as a general statement. Getting blocking public-private partnerships. There should never be a collusion of the private sector and the government. There should never be that kind of wheeling and dealing going on. It's one thing when the government goes out there and buys paper supplies from a vendor. That's one thing. But to be in business with that vendor to provide a service, that isn't right. Government's not supposed to be in the for-profit business. They are supposed to supply critical public services that people cannot, the private sector cannot provide on its own to the least expensive cost. That
are you
going
to send me something that would be concise enough that I can put it in there?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, good.
Good.
I'm looking forward to that.
Yes. So anyway, I'm very big on this. And the thing is right now, and as I think I started to talk about a little bit last week, is people will see me coming up with a coalition on this I-95 tolls. They want to put tolls on I-95. And every time they do this toll road stuff, people, they're out there doing their best to privatize it. They did this in Texas, selling it off to a company named Centra, which is a foreign entity. No foreign entity should ever, no private entity, much less a foreign entity, should ever own national assets and infrastructure. You just don't do that. You think with everything that's going on up in the Northeast right now, transportation, it just, that isn't what you do. That's no more than you would outsource your military. Are we going to start outsourcing our military service to everybody? You know, if when we do, of course, then that's the one more coffin, nail in the coffin for the United States of America kind of thing. So that was that piece of it. And what was the other? We talked about reforming the elections. Now, I don't know if you had a chance to look at what Charlie and I had done, We the People versus the Ballot Box Establishment.
No.
Okay. Because we get into the nitty-gritty, and Charlie talked a little bit about this at the beginning of the show, too. We do not have the representation of our choice. The corruption of the elections deny us the representation of our choice. And that goes back to, we've talked about the filing fees here in Florida to run as a partisan candidate, $10,440 to run for the Senate or for the House of Representatives.
Right, which I heard Charlie mention that, yeah.
Yeah, and that's outrageous. What the way just about everything when it comes to the election process has to be reformatted, which includes a corporation. You know, a corporation is not a human. I strongly believe only those who can vote have the right to contribute to a campaign. If you do not have the voting authority, you should not participate in the election process.
And that's some of what Charlie sent to me, by the way.
Yes.
And so what he sent. As I said, I'm waiting for the results of the elections tomorrow.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
I want to make sure that the petition is going to go forward full steam ahead.
And let's see. I'm going back.
Are you asking me questions, or I'm trying to? Because I don't think I'm answering your. If they are a question, I don't think I'm answering them.
Well, I'm putting it out there as part of what the problem is. And then you can either elaborate as to how the petition is already addressing it, or that this might be something you would consider kind of tweaking.
Okay, all right.
Adding
okay.
Okay? Because, I mean, just like fees to run. As a citizen, first off, we need to the term limits you talked about, a good start on that. We need to get rid of career politicians. This country was never supposed to be about elitist running the country, which is what it's become. So getting rid of the career politicians. So when you say that, when there's plenty of people that run. Look how many people are, how many candidates are out there for the president right now. I mean, in Florida, I think there's 11 or 12 people listed as candidates for the president of the United States. But you never hear about them. So the collusion of the media. The media no longer serves as a watchdog. So what do we do to get the media back in its proper role in this process and not a part of the
government? But I don't think that's part of enacting term limits.
It's part of the election process, removing the corruption of the elections. The media, because just like, and this really isn't term limits, again, to your point, Marco Rubio would have never gotten elected, or I'll say, would not have gotten elected so easily had it not been for all the free airtime Fox News gave him. Now, is it the role of Fox News to go out and decide who they want to be their candidate and give them all the airtime and ignore anybody else that's running because they've decided, and they decided because the GOP happened to say, this is who we like, he's a Hispanic, so we want to push him out there, so we're going to put more of our advertising funds to your channel here, your station. So we want you to go out there and be promoting Marco Rubio. This collusion of the media and the process.
That's not any more fair than what CBS or NBC does or ABC or any of them.
and you're totally right. And you're please don't take any of this as being one side or the other. I do not like either of the parties. I can't stand either of the parties. They're both equally corrupt. The corruption I'm giving, I happen to know the thing with Rubio was just so blatant. Same thing right now is happening with Fox News and John Micah. So they picked their chosen one. The same is true with Obama. Obama's the chosen one on the other side. So the media is not going to criticize anything they do. What do we do to get the media back in its proper role? Because the media, to me, doesn't do anything it's supposed to. The Internet is helping us, just like with Glenn Beck and some of these other news sources that are trashing what network news is doing.
Well, there's a lot of things that we could do, but practically, you know, to be practical, we're not going to do it. We stop buying newspapers from all these from these newspapers, but who's going to do that? We're not all going to stop buying newspapers. You know, we can make phone calls to them left and right and telling them how bad they are. We're not going to do that. Now, filing lawsuits, I'm sure there are things that are being done that are not legal. And probably the only way that we are going to be able to stop the news media from doing what they're doing is to find a legal way of stopping them. Which is going to take time, money, investigation, and everything else.
Well, there was a show we had a few, it's probably been about 6 months now. Her name was Tina Schrinner. She is in the broadcasting business. So we were discussing the media, the role of the media. And there is the FCC Reg 99-390. Any of these network broadcasting companies like NBC, ABC, CBS, Fox, any of them, in order to get that license, part of their regulation is to serve the public interest. Now, again, the issue is money and time. The average working class person, such as myself, doesn't have millions of dollars to go out there and fight these things. But if you could get a coalition, you can easily prove that they do not serve the public interest. They
okay,
lie
this is through legal means, then, you're saying?
Great, yes, if you want to see
right,
the legal
okay,
means.
Right.
For what the media is doing, but it does take money to do it. You're not going. It's not something you can simply go out there and.
No, you need to. You need to form a, like you say, a coalition. You start a class action suit. Get people involved into that class action suit to share the expense and the burden. Media has gone too far. The media has gone over the edge. They pushed Graham over the edge, and they pushed everybody over the edge. I mean, they're controlling. They're controlling. They control elections more than any other entity.
But it's again, and you get up to me. I'm an analyst, okay? I'm an analyst, so I ask a lot of questions. Why is this happening? What about this? Why, you know, I ask 50 million questions in every different direction I can think of.
All right, why is this happening?
Well,
why have the newspapers grown just like the government has grown? You got a parallel situation here. Look at how much power the news media has today. Look at how much power the federal government has today. Each one of these entities have power over who? We the people, right?
Mm-hmm.
And have both of them have grown to the point where they have so much power, they're almost untouchable.
And it, at the very highest level, I would say it goes again back to a culture. The culture itself has lost its way in the sense
right.
of not knowing what its role is in this process, being brainwashed by public education.
Exactly.
I truly think public education has been one of the worst things for this country, even though it started out as a good thing, and it could have been a good thing, but
it's not now.
Doers, yeah, exactly. So I would never encourage anybody to go through public education. So you take the dumbing down of the citizens of this country, and they fail to know what their role is. So you take that piece. Then you go out there and you throw games at them and things like that to distract them so that they're not paying attention to what anybody else is. They've totally lost their way of what they're supposed to do in this process. So that's one aspect of it. Then you go to the next aspect of the news is now about entertainment. It's all out there for money. At one point in time, the news segment really wasn't the moneymaker of the network. It was strictly supposed to be news. now they've got to talk about celebrities and recipes and this and that, and you're not getting the news. And what little bit they do tell you gets slanted in one way or another. So one, you're out there, news is entertainment. It's not news. It's not information, at least in my opinion. It's not anymore. And then because it's a moneymaker, the element of money in the news business is what has probably done the biggest damage of all, because regardless of what's happening over there in the public offices, which I'll get to that in a minute, the fact that you've got two political parties specifically who have a stranglehold on the ballot box, who have the mega bucks across this country, millions, and now with all these crazy super PACs out there, all this other stuff, they're buying the coverage on the shows. And I don't care who you are, what network you're in, you can say you're that you're newsworthy, whatever, fair, balanced, trusted, most trusted name, whatever all the craziness is. But you know what? Most of your money is coming from either the Democrats or the Republicans or whatever entity, you know, could be NFL, whatever that organization is. When most of your advertising money is coming from them, who do you think you're going to support? Are you going to slap the hand that feeds you? No.
Naturally not. That's exactly what's happening.
So I think the election and the coverage of the news media gets covered right there. The other aspect of it, excuse me, which is where I say the collusion of the media and the elected public servants, is now the game gets played on the other side. If, well, you know what, if this station over here goes and reports on what this rhino or this progressive Democrat over here did, if they go out there and report it, and that happens to be the person who's sitting in the office, could be the county mayor, city mayor, whatever, then they're going to be denied access to that public office because they don't like the way they report. So then you get, well, if I don't play nice with the mayor's office, I'm not going to get to cover the stories. So if I tell you the truth, which isn't nice, and they're not going to want me to do it, they're going to try and block me from access to that office again. That is the other piece of it. So they have to play games with the public office to even get in the door. And that's not right either. You know, you're supposed to have
I agree. If I'm going to try and get back on track on something, and it's not my radio show, it's yours, but I know you brought me here to answer any questions. Now, there may not be any questions out there. Are there any questions for me on the petition?
Well, let me go out there and double-check the chat room. Okay, there's been nothing new posted in the chat room. We've got people listening, but no one's actually putting their hand up to speak. So
okay.
And Charlie, you're back out there. If there's anything specific you want to talk about, I mean, there's so many issues out there, and I can go on a tangent with just about anything.
Okay, well, that's okay, because if there's not any questions on, on the petition, I'll join in with you.
Hmm?
You know, in the conversation as we are, and. No, I was waiting.
I was waiting
for you because I kind of interrupted you there only because I wanted to get back on track on the petition. I didn't know if there was questions from anyone out there. I covered the kind of the overview of the petition. It's up to the people to, in other words, I'll lead them, and if the people take the time to read that petition, I'm sure they will help out because I can sure use a lot of volunteers. But this conversation is going well, and I, if you don't mind me participating, I will.
Yeah,
I'll let you pick it back
do,
up then, Sally.
Okay, because, I mean, I'm trying to touch on pieces that I know you have in the demands. excuse me. And this petition is about reforming the whole this government, how we have to reform it. And there's so many things that do need reform. And I contend, and Charlie and I have talked many times about this, and why we came up, We the People versus the Ballot Box Establishment, we will never fix this problem if we don't clean up the elections first. A corrupt
election.
Well,
I think, though, that there's one key thing here that, you know, is when we're talking about reform, and like you were talking, about the news media, and like I was talking about the government growing and growing, and the news media growing along with the government. You know, what happens to a balloon as you keep blowing it up and up and up and up? It can hold just so much air, and then it blows up, doesn't it?
Yes, in our letters.
Well, that's what we—that's what's happening with our news media. That's what's happening with our government. We can't have government reform unless we bring government back to where our forefathers intended it to be. Now, we know that we're never going to bring things back to what it was back then, because we are here now. But we can bring things back to at least represent what the Constitution is calling for. If we're going to live under the Constitution and abide by it, then we have to abide by it. If we're not going to abide by it, we're not going to pay attention to the Constitution, then we need to throw it away. Now, do I want to throw the Constitution away? No. But to get anywhere back close to what our Constitution is telling us we should be doing, we've got to cut government back drastically. Romney, Ryan, they have preached that government is too large, government needs to be rolled back. They have talked about rolling things back to the states. They have talked about a lot of things that are in my petition. But first and foremost is we have to cut the size of government and eliminate so many of the departments that are within the government. And the states have to assume the responsibilities. The states are more equipped and better equipped to run a business than the federal government and federal legislators. Our legislators do not know how to run a business. It's been proven over and over and over. The government is a business. You know, it's a financial nest egg. It's got revenues coming in. It's got expenses going out, just like any business. Our government can't run itself. Heck, we haven't even had a balanced budget since Obama came in. Not a balanced budget. We haven't had a budget pass since Obama's been in. But once we cut this budget, once we get a Congress and a president in there that can work together to truly cut the size of government. And you know what this is going to mean? When we start cutting down the size of government, that means initially there's going to be a lot of people unemployed. Remember, we've grown this government to the point where it's so large that we're employing so many people that initially it is going to hurt. It's going to be a tremendous, tremendous impact on our country. But it'll get itself caught back up again because we will be able to invest in the business. Private businesses can flourish again. People will be hired. Jobs will be created. Different jobs. I guess that's the point I really want to drive home is before anything else can be done, anything, government has to be cut drastically, the size of government.
Okay.
So you were
going to
say something,
out.
Sally.
Yeah, Charlie's back up. I'm going to go to Charlie in just a second here. But the other thing, you said something about, you know, you talk about, of course, cutting the size of government, which I totally agree. Get back to what the true role of government is. But the fact of the matter is that means a lot of people are going to have to sacrifice.
That's
people
right.
aren't going to hit their and I think that's another thing. It's been a flaw. The Mimi syndrome is what I've called it, starting with the baby boomers. This Mimi syndrome that and every parent wanted to make the world better for their kid, gave them more toys, gave them more this and that. Too many Americans don't know a little bit about that sacrifice. You got to be willing to sacrifice and take responsibility if you want to be free. Being free means you handle your own responsibilities. You take care of yourself, not asking the government to be big brother all the time, taking care of everything and providing you with diapers and whatever else. I mean, there's a point. There's
the government
doesn't
know how to do it.
Well, there's this confusion that somehow Obama's going to give me a free phone. Obama's going to pay my house payment. You know, all these crazy things. But let me get Charlie into this conversation. But we've lost it as a culture to think about what our being responsible is. We keep thinking Big Brother's going to do everything. Charlie, you're there.
Yes, I'm here. Now, talking about, you know, the oversized government that we have in Washington. Yeah, if Romney and Ryan do what they want to do and Congress backs them up, the thing that will happen is like, okay, the EPA, which is already in the various states, they can disband the EPA in Washington, D.C. Now, how many people are there? I don't know. But some of those people will be able to relocate back to the states that they were probably worked in before, transferring to Washington. If not, they're going to have to find a state where they can go to work at.
And or I'm find a new career.
A lot of that stuff will be attrition because they'll have the expertise in some of the states, like in the schooling situation. We need to go ahead and put the schools back under the control of the state. However, the Federal Education Department may have some people that are from the state who would be good and qualified to work in the state to help them do the right thing. And I'm saying there could be a lot of attrition back into the state. And also, the big thing that they're going to have to do is they're going to have to cut those, how would you say, lucrative wages that we are paying our servants. There, some of our servants are getting more than the private sector, and that should have happened.
That's right. All of these things are going to have to take place.
That's right. I mean, if it means private, my dad's many, many years ago. Now, he died in 72. Or no, 74. But anyway, long before he died, he says, this country needs to bankrupt itself. Well, if the country bankrupts itself, then they can get rid and renegotiate all the contracts with the unions, because the unions are getting a lot of taxpayer money, and I didn't agree to pay any union taxpayer money so that they could represent the employees. Did you?
No.
Did you ever go ahead and agree to it? Well, who
nope.
did? Congress? Congress went ahead and did another breach of fiduciary violation. Because
our elected officials did it.
That's right. It is not their duty to go ahead and bargain with a union for the benefit of the federal employees or state employees without the taxpayers' permission. You don't go ahead and say, we're going to go ahead and give you $25 an hour and a full month of vacation at taxpayers' expense. Uh-uh. That is not the intent of the honest Constitution. That is not intent of the fiduciary responsibilities of our elected officials. They are not supposed to encumber us without our permission. In other words,
and all these things are right, but we have to start somewhere first.
Yeah. When I got that thing from Tom Pastore, one of our friends and fellow patriots, I read that thing real good, and it comes from Black's Law Dictionary in the computer. Fiduciary. There's like about 8 or 9 or maybe 12 different situations where Congress has violated their fiduciary responsibility, which their fiduciary responsibility is just like that of the real estate agent, the lawyer, the doctor, or anybody else you get service from. Congress is held to the same fiduciary responsibilities. Binding the principal, which we the taxpayers are, without the principal's permission, is a violation of their fiduciary duty. And when found guilty of a fiduciary violation, the fiduciary, being Congress, or, you know, your representative or whatever, shall lose all their wages, their benefits, and privileges. And also, compensatory damages are available.
And you say that's the law of land today.
That's it. Now, we went ahead and researched this when we put in that lawsuit regarding suing Congress for failing to properly process a budget. We didn't sue them on the fact of how they voted for it. We're suing them on the fact that they failed to process it, to bring it to a vote. There's a big difference. They failed to actually provide the people with a budget, which is a violation of their fiduciary duty. So fortunately, Tom found this lawsuit, and you can have it now. It's United States versus Mitchell, 1983.
And what was the disposition of that?
It went to the Supreme Court, and Supreme Justice Marshall wrote the opinion. And the opinion basically was, it says it would be oxymoron for us to think that the founding fathers did not leave a way for the citizens to sue the government of the United States. And so in his final opinion, he turned around and he says, this case will be referred back to the court for disposition of the findings. What it is the Quinault Indians, the Secretary of the Interior, failed to properly log their property, their reservation property, and he denuded it, thus taking away all future incomes from the Indians, and they were left destitute. So they sued. And there was like about 1,745 of them, but they sued, and they won the case. But the thing is that's a fiduciary violation on the part of the United States government, which Congress is. So that is one of the statutes that we are using in our argument regarding suing Congress for failing to properly process a budget since Obama took office. Because when they failed to do that, then they went ahead and appropriated money for the
stimulus fund. Okay, so suit is against Congress, period, the whole entire.
Then, yeah, both houses of Congress. And, and the plaintiffs are Harry Reid and John Boehner et al.
Okay.
Because they are congressmen, they're senators, so it's et al. That takes all of them in there. Now, there are some senators who would say, oh, well, we had nothing to do with this and all that. As far as I'm concerned, you're driving the getaway car. Because you should have voiced an opinion and put pressure on Boehner and pressure on Reid and on the president to make sure that the budget was, that a budget was properly processed. But it wasn't. And they didn't take the action that Congress is supposed to take, because I can't force them to do it. Congress has to force their own people to pass a budget to actually bring it up and process it properly. And that's what our argument is. They failed, we the people, and therefore we now are looking at $5 trillion plus in added deficit because Congress's failure to properly process the budgets for the good of the American people and the United States of America.
Okay.
And now we are having a hard time getting that in the local courts. So the more we can get it out there to the people, the better off we are, because somebody else can file the same lawsuit that we wrote up, and they could file it in their state, in their federal office, federal courts.
Kind of do a boilerplate off of what yours is.
Huh?
Yeah. I do kind of do a boilerplate off of what your format is.
That's
right. Yeah.
Yeah. What? This is a little. This is off the subject, but obviously tomorrow is a very big day in history and in everybody's lives. And
right.
How does everybody feel it's going to go?
I'm praying to God that He does the right thing and that we get somebody in there who believes in Him more so than what the present president does. Because I believe the present president is more in line with the Muslim religion, and therefore it's a different God. And it is a God of who's willing to allow people to kill. Or that is the church doctrine of the Muslim religion. Because
what
I don't
do you think
Muhammad
people can do from
God,
tonight on? Well, we got only tonight and tomorrow, obviously. What can
pray? Pray.
Okay, that's good.
That's probably the number one on everybody's list right now. Pray to God and ask Him to make sure that we get the right person in there that He wants to bring this country back to the way He designed it through our founding fathers, which is a country of honesty and integrity. And that will also help us get rid of those who are corrupt and dishonest in government, such as Webster's and his $100,000 office renovation, like he's going to live there, work there the rest of his life.
Do you live in Florida also, Charlie?
Yeah, yeah. Sally and I are about maybe 8 miles apart.
How is the the voting fraud, how's it stacking up there in Florida?
Oh, the fraud?
Have you heard?
We have a culture of corruption right here in Central Florida. And with this commuter rail, I mean, we the people said no to the rail system, but they still went ahead and passed the motion to spend $44 million to further study rail systems. And the whole thing about it, you know, that's a violation of our rights right there.
But I think you're talking about
people
back there. You're asking about the corruption, the voter suppression, voter fraud going on
right now. Right, right, exactly.
Oh,
right.
Yeah, oh, that. Well, it cost $10,440 if you wanted to run for Congress just to get your name on the ballot. However, approximately two-thirds of that money goes to the executive committee of the party that you belong to. If you are a no-party affiliate or a separate party, then there may be a party assessment fee to get on the ballot, which is...
I was probably referring more to fraud, you know, with the equipment down there and fraud at the voting polls.
Right. Yeah, because...
Because I know Ohio is having a real major problem right now.
Well, whenever they went to computers, that touchstone screens and all that, they left it all open. They left it all open for the people who do the programming. Now, the way I do most of my elections, I fill out a card and I block out. I connect the dots and I make a big space in there, and then I slide it through a machine and it counts it. However, there's a lot of them that have the touchstone screens. And there's no paper trail. And this is what we, the people, have to make sure. And I also understand that there's a rumor stating that the ballots are going to be counted in Spain. And George, with the company...
Yeah,
there,
I've heard that as well. I've even heard that some of the machines are automatically... if you hit Romney, it comes up Obama. But
hopefully people will be checking their ballots.
Okay. What? Hold on a second. Excuse me, hold on a second, guys. We're down to about 4 minutes. But that has been seen to have happened. We know it's happened here in Orange County with electronic machines because it happened to me when I was running for office. And so but that's one of the hardest things to try and prove if people don't pay attention, and because it's not going to happen every single time. They're going to have the coding in the machine would be random to make it happen every so many times, and then people who aren't paying attention would not catch it, that kind of thing. So there has been some of that, but then the biggest thing, which I talked about a little bit at the beginning of the show here in Florida, is they've already got, and this was down in South Florida, those who said they didn't get to vote on the early voting said their vote was being suppressed because they didn't get as many days as they wanted. And I'm like, wait a minute, that's totally nuts. You're only supposed to have one day to vote anyway, so when you're given 7 or 8 extra days, give me a break. But there is a mentality that if Obama does not win, they're going to all go out there and protest that they didn't get the right to vote and that Florida blocked their vote and all this other kind of nonsense.
I know. I'm sorry that I wasn't able to answer any questions on the petition. I appreciate you having me on the show.
Okay, call anytime, John, because it's very interesting, John. Excuse me, Charlie, but call anytime because you're very interesting to talk to. You've got a lot of good points. And over the weeks that we have the show, if you even call in and talk for 15, 20 minutes or something like that on any of our topics, I mean, it would or give us some more input into as to how you're coming along with the, improving the petitions and all that, and what you're finding out, it would be, it would keep dialogue open. It would keep the dialogue open.
And no matter which way, either the whoever wins tomorrow, you know, sometime I'd like to come on and talk a little bit more about the financial regulatory reform bill.
Sure.
Because that's a bill that...
Personally, I think that's a topic by itself, and people need to understand more about this financial process and the Federal Reserve and Dodd-Frank.
Exactly.
So,
well, I really appreciate... let's all pray together tonight, and let's hope we're smiling tomorrow.
Night. God bless America. God bless our troops. And thank you, John.
Good night, bless you all. Sally, Charlie, and the audience, thanks a mil. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Okay. Thank you. It's been an excellent show. I'm sorry, did I just hear something? Okay. I think I'm hearing sounds in the background there. Anyway, thank you for tuning in tonight. This has been a very good discussion. There's much more to talk about. We need to definitely carry on this conversation onto some of the more specifics, and so please tune in. As I mentioned earlier, as Charlie mentioned, no show on Thursday, but we will be back next Monday. We'll talk about what's happening with this election and everything else. So on that note, may God bless and protect the USA. Good night.